Can you believe it, Adam? Tom Brady has finally retired.
I can't.
Well, I guess now that he's retired, we can come out of retirement and start doing our podcast again.
That's not great. That's pretty bad. That's because we haven't podcasted in like a month.
I'm Justin Appel.
I am Adam Goodstone.
And we are two Met Jet Knick fans that are never happy because we root for the Mets, Jets, and Knicks. And with that, welcome to the first edition of the Born in 87 podcast in 2022. Long overdue. Good to be back, Adam.
It's good to be back.
Yeah. As we were saying, we wanted to do an emergency pod over the weekend, but the month of January just was apparently not conducive to doing podcasts.
Well, we did honor to the great Tom Brady by not having an emergency pod, because even though the news of his retirement broke, he didn't officially retire until today. So this is actually the correct time for a retirement pod.
Excellent
which is
point.
Really just a celebration pod that we don't have to watch him beat our teams anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't have anything new to add. We don't know Tom Brady. But we can talk about how I was going to say how he tormented us for 20 years, but did he really torment us? That's something I want to get into. Like, he really didn't torment us as much as, like, you would have thought he did. Like, he tormented, like, the Colts but I don't think in the Broncos to some extent, I don't think he tormented the Jets.
Well, you know,
it was annoying watching him win a lot,
yes.
But like we and weren't, I think, and unlike it's not like lot, he had all these like crazy wins against the Jets that like took our heart out. Like he did other teams.
Fair. I mean, I think the fact that he was in the division, it was slightly worse. I mean, you know, if you compared like, sure. I mean, maybe Lions, you know, you look at some of the other like inept franchises, you know, like the Lions or the Bears or, you know, pick whatever team. I mean, they all may just be annoyed that like Brady wins all the time and won just so damn much over the last 21 years. But at least like if you were a Lions or Bears fan, you didn't have to go head to head against him twice a year. Whereas the Jets did, and it just, I guess, maybe reinforced the fact. And you know what? So we say like, okay, did Tom Brady and the Pats torment the Jets? And it's not like, so you look at these past 10 years, and no, it's not like Tom Brady stood in the way of the Jets like winning a Super Bowl or getting to the playoffs, because the Jets have been so inept, you know, starting with the 2011 season, that you can't blame Brady for that. But that's not to say there haven't, you know, even with the Jets being bad, there haven't been moments where the Pats have tormented the Jets. You know, you look back, I mean, I think it's an overrated moment, but the butt fumble happened against the Patriots where they embarrassed the Jets, the famous Austin, which I know you say is like a BS moment, but the Austin Seferian Jenkins game
that the Jets should have won,
that was against the Pats. The Monday night game where Sam Darnold saw ghosts was against the Pats. There were, you know, many games over the years where, you know, instead of just maybe taking like a 15-point win against the Jets, Bill Belichick loved to stick it to the Jets and win by 30. So even in like the bad years, there have been moments where they've stuck it to the Jets. And then, you know, you look at the first 10 years, I mean, certainly the Pats at a minimum, I mean, they stood in the way of the Jets potentially winning some division titles when the Jets were decent.
I mean, I'd have to look at it. I mean, who's more at fault for the Jets not being good the last 20 years, Tom Brady or the Jets? It's just the Jets.
Well, of course,
and then you think about but then the 2 years where they actually had a shot to win the Super Bowl, the Patriots didn't get in their way in either of those years. And in fact, the Jets beat them one of those 2 years. So for me, like it was annoying seeing how good the Patriots were every single year, and I'm glad it's over, but it's not like I just don't feel like he tormented us.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
If you're a fan of Seattle, it's like he tormented you. Like, what?
I feel like he did like to humiliate the Jets, though. I mean, I have to look at like the box scores over the last 10 years, but I feel like Brady Belichick in the past loved to stick it to the Jets.
I guess there was like 2 years really where they had a shot and he did not get in the way, right, of those 2 times.
Yeah, that's fair.
Did the Jets ever play him in the playoffs outside of the 2010?
They played each other in a wild card game in 2006, which the Pats won.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he was 30-7 against the Jets. He just completely dismantled them. That includes the Bucs game.
Also to further your point, in 2015, when the Jets went 10-6 but missed the playoffs, in week 16 that year, the Jets actually beat the Patriots, which to this day is the last time they beat them. The Jets have lost, I think, 12 straight to the Pats since then. But they actually beat the Pats that day, and it was right in front of the Jets to make the playoffs. They choked against Buffalo the following week.
Actually, I would think that the fan base that Tom Brady owns the most is maybe Kansas City. Right? I was trying to think, who has he dominated more than anyone else? Those are two gut-wrenching
Pittsburgh,
losses.
He's dominated Pittsburgh.
Fan bases did he, like, rip away titles from and like at Pittsburgh. The last minute on multiple occasions.
I mean, Pittsburgh many times.
Was it more than two? Because it was twice with Kansas City between the Bucks.
I think
Super
it was
Bowl
more than two with
and
Pittsburgh.
The AFC.
Well, if you remember,
I just don't remember
the first one where Bledsoe actually came in relief of Brady was against Pittsburgh. I believe either. Okay. I'd have to look. I'm pretty sure they met in the AFC title game at least 3 or 4 times.
Roethlisberger also made 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they didn't have to go through the Pats in any of them, though. Like, I think other teams knocked off the Pats. I mean, the thing you got to remember, too, which was kind of like a weird...
Or even the Rams. Like, he owned the Rams. He stopped the Rams from winning 2 Super Bowls. That may be the team that he's owned more than anyone else. I would just say, like, he's dominated the Rams, and he's dominated the Chiefs
Pittsburgh
more than... Right, like, those franchises probably hate him even more than we do, right? He just beat us all the time. He didn't take anything from us.
I guess. I mean, the thing is that, I mean, I guess another annoying thing, which is just, I mean, it's just more like a frustration of the era. And I think, you know, Miami and Buffalo fans can say the same thing, is that all three of these franchises were, for the most part, really inept during the Brady era. And none of them ever really posed significant threats to the Patriots. I mean, the Jets had that 2-year run in 09 and 10 where they actually beat the Pats in the playoffs, 09 where they advanced further in the playoffs than New England. Buffalo, you know, became relevant these last couple of years once Brady left the AFC East and went down to Tampa. And Miami, I guess Miami had that 1 year where they won a division title when Brady got hurt. And Matt Hassel was starting.
Oh yeah.
So,
but who won the division in Brady's second year when the Pats didn't make the playoffs? Was that Miami?
That was Miami, I think. No, it was the Jets.
It was the Jets? Oh, because Miami beat them and giving it to the Jets. Is that what happened?
So that's actually an interesting story that a lot of Jet fans forget. So in 2002, the year the Patriots actually had a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover and actually missed the playoffs that following season. I'm pretty sure it's the only year Brady ever missed the playoffs. The Pats missed the playoffs in the Matt Cassel year where they actually went 11-5 and missed the playoffs. But the only year Brady actually missed the playoffs was 2002. And that year, in a bizarre scenario in week 17, the Jets needed to win and they needed the Pats to beat the Dolphins, which would give the Jets the division
in a
three-way tie at 9-7. And it actually happened. The Pats helped the Jets win the division. And then a week later, if you remember, was the famous 41-0 drubbing of the Indianapolis Colts where the Jets dominated.
Yeah, I just remember being at a boat show with my parents, and that seems like a very long time ago, and I can't believe – You know, Tom Brady played from then until now, but he's not playing anymore.
We were put it this way, we were a freshman in high school when Brady started this whole thing in 2001. We're going to be turning 35 this year. Like, that's just crazy.
Played a very long time. Yeah. I don't know, we have anything else to say? Is there anything you wanted to get out of your system about Tom Brady? I mean, he was really good. I think once I moved to New England, I had more of an appreciation for him. When I lived in New York, it was more of just this like strong hatred. And then living here, he had that run of his second stretch of Super Bowls. I did appreciate him. I think the thing that always stands out to me is just he doesn't physically dominate the way like a Rodgers or, you know, a Mahomes dominates, but he's, you know, clearly better with better results and just, yeah. And I mean, it's impressive the way he won football games. I don't really have a lot to say.
It's crazy. I mean, one thing we were looking at. So like since he came on the scene in 2001, over the last 21 years, we were looking at just number of like quarterback Super Bowl appearances over the last 21 years. It's just crazy. Brady has 10. Peyton Manning has 4. Ben Roethlisberger has 3. No one else has more than 2. Like, it's just nuts. Like, it's so hard to win in the NFL. I mean, I think nothing more evident than the fact that, like, Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers are probably two of the 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time. And neither of them, put it this way, Tom Brady has as many NFC championship game wins as Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. That's crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, I'm not the first one to say this, but like, how many Hall of Fame careers did Tom Brady have? Like, how many times could you like chunk up his career and say that's his whole career and he makes the Hall of Fame? At least twice, maybe 3 times. Yeah. Like, definitely twice, because he had the
100% twice, because he won 3 in his first 4 years. Right. Then in 07, he has the, was it 07? Yeah, 07, he has the 18 in 1 year. And then they have essentially the second dynasty where he wins three and goes to 4 Super Bowls in 5 years from 2014 to 18. Then he leaves New England and wins another one in Tampa. Like, it's just...
The only thing I want to credit him for, and I think we've probably heaped too much praise on him for someone who we hate so much, but I don't know if people really remember this, but before the Patriots, the Super Bowls weren't very good. Right. Like, there weren't many Super Bowls that were thought of as like really excellent games to watch.
That's a fair point. I do kind of remember that when we were growing up as little kids in the 90s, like every year the Super Bowl kind of sucked. The only good one was the Rams Titans.
But that was like considered like the first good Super Bowl. I still remember that. But yeah, every single Patriots Super Bowl was really entertaining, right? Like, were there any blowouts? Was the one against the Panthers? That one I don't remember well, but I feel like maybe
that was close.
That was close.
That was a really close game. That was the game where what was it? What was that kicker? John Casey. I'm sure he's not listening, but someone RJ Yeaman used to love to take in fantasy.
People can't see him shaking my head.
that was the game. I believe late in that game, Jake Delhomme led the Panthers down the field to tie that game. And then John Casey kicked the ball out of bounds and gave Tom Brady the ball at the 40-yard line.
All the games have been entertaining.
I think there was only 2 blowouts. The Ram game, the second Ram game, where they blew the Rams
out. That wasn't a blowout.
Well,
it was the fourth
quarter.
Well, the final and then score last year. Oh, yeah. Last year was terrible. I forgot about that. You know, I forgot about that because I didn't watch the whole game. The Pats-Rams game was 13-3, so that's not exactly a blowout.
I'm pretty sure the first 5 were all one possession wins.
Yeah.
I mean, they won. Well, I know famously they won the first 3 by 3 points each. They beat the Falcons in overtime, and they should have lost to the Seahawks. Because that was the
should have lost the Seahawks. Right. That was the interception to Malcolm Butler. Right. Yeah. I feel like I've gotten everything I wanted to say out of Tom Brady out of my system. Is there anything else that you need to get out, Justin?
I'm just really glad he's gone. Like, I don't know about you.
I don't know if he's gone. Would you be surprised if he came back?
No, I wouldn't. But I like to think that he's hopefully gone. I don't know about you. These last 2 years, I found myself like, rooting against Tampa way more than I was actually rooting against the Pats. Like, I just found Brady more sickening than the Patriots themselves.
Well, I have a strange experience with that. So last year, I kind of just didn't think about it. And I was, you know, living in New England and he was on TV every single week. And I didn't quite realize how much I was disgusted by it until they were in the Super Bowl. And I just, it's probably the first Super Bowl I only watched like a little bit of. Like, I was so grossed out. I had to turn off. And this year I had Chris Godwin in fantasy and I really like Chris Godwin. So I found myself rooting for Brady a lot just because I wanted Godwin to do well. So that was me this year.
Fair enough. All right. So
good luck, Chris Godwin.
Yeah. I mean, he's the best of all time. I couldn't stand him. Hopefully he's actually gone, but this brings us. But we wanted to transition this into our next point and what we, oh, sorry. There was one last Brady thing I wanted to ask you. So, cause this game happened after we last potted was in week 17 this year, when the Jets lost to the Bucks. I know we have like our Jets group thread and we had a lot of debate about this. I was really upset about the loss. Like I just thought it would have been really cool if the Jets could have beaten Brady and beaten, you know, just this way. It's like, oh, we got the last laugh on the last time we ever played Brady. We got the upper hand. And then, you know, certain people in the group chat were like, nah, it's better. They were competitive and got the better draft pick. I don't know. Where do you stand on this?
This is something I just don't care about. I know that's a terrible thing. Like if you have a podcast, you're supposed to have a stand. Like, I just don't care. I feel like from what I've researched about this draft, like moving up or down a couple of positions doesn't really matter.
Exactly.
It would have been nice to beat Brady. Exactly. But they played him really well. Like it was, yeah. It doesn't really matter if it's an actual victory or a moral victory. Like they played a good game. I was fine with it. I just, there's very little, it just doesn't really register for me for being important. I just don't care.
All right, fair enough.
I got to watch it because all the Bucks games were on in New England, so that was fun.
Fair enough. All right. So the next thing we want to talk about. So one thing I feel like every podcast and like every like talk radio show has like talked about over the last 2 weeks, really starting with that incredible divisional round game between the Chiefs and Bills, where Mahomes and Josh Allen were just going head to head, was the AFC's in good hands. There's all these great quarterbacks in the AFC. And it got us thinking, like, you know, you just look at this like hierarchy of quarterbacks right now in the AFC, and it's like clearly you got in some order Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow at the top. Then after them, you probably have Herbert, Lamar Jackson, and you know maybe Aaron Rodgers if these heavy rumors that he's going to end up with the Broncos comes to fruition. Maybe Deshaun Watson, depending on, you know, if he actually plays next year and where he ends up. And then after that, like you probably have like Tannehill and Carr, and that gets you like 8-9 guys deep. And like, I kind of feel like if you don't have a quarterback, at least as good as like Carr or Tannehill, you really can't compete in the AFC. Like the quarterback's just too good.
Sure. I mean, that seems like a pretty strong argument that if you don't have one of these, I would say top four quarterbacks, right? I would put Herbert in the same conversation as the other three, not that he's one, but just because he has the same physical skills. But then, I mean, the other way to look at it is like, if your team's good enough, you'll have a chance. Like good quarterbacks lose.
Okay.
So what was that in 2010 or either 2009, 2010, we were looking at like this murderer's row of quarterbacks the Jets would have to go through to make it to the AFC title game or the Super Bowl. And, you know, they didn't, you know, win the Super Bowl, but they beat a couple of good quarterbacks. They almost made a
couple
of
good. They beat Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
Right. So, I mean, the only thing you can do is just, it really just, the only thing I care about is just having a good product on the field. Is Zach Wilson going to be like one of these guys? Probably not. Maybe they'll just have such a good team that it won't matter. But I have to admit, as fun as the last couple of weeks of football have been, it was a little disheartening to know that it's very unlikely we have one of these top guys.
But could he be at least as good as like Carr and Tannehill? I feel like that's realistic.
But does it matter? I mean, you watch what Mahomes and Allen did. It's just like, how could you beat either of those guys? And you'd have to go through them, Herbert, or Burrow.
But then I think back to it. Tannehill was one, you know, basically if he makes one, if he just doesn't make that bad decision, throwing that ball to Westbrook Akine, they probably beat the Bengals in the divisional round.
Yeah. Well,
then
I
they
think
then they're hosting Kansas City in the AFC title game. And I think similarly, I mean, Carr had an opportunity to beat the Bengals at the end of that game.
Well, I think people are being very quick to anoint Joe Burrow to being the same conversation as the rest of them. And I think they're projecting a bit, right? So I would say that Allen, Mahomes, and even Herbert are right now like a step above of Joe Burrow. And it sounds a little crazy.
I don't know how you could put Herbert there.
I think just from like the complete skill set.
But then this goes with like the Brady thing. Like, you know, you said like Brady might not have the most like raw talent as some of these other guys, but he wins, and that's what Joe Burrow does.
I think what a lot of people are doing with Burrow is saying he's already competing with these guys and he's on his back the whole time. So they're saying that they still have cap room. And like, if you're the Bengals, the only thing you do in the offseason is protect Joe Burrow. And I think people are just kind of afraid of what he's going to look like the next couple seasons. So I think like Allen and Mahomes are there already, but Burrow, they're saying he already managed to beat them and they're projecting even more improvement. And I think that's logical, but it's not a given, right? Like the Bengals shouldn't be in the Super Bowl, right? If the Bengals don't improve their team next year, they probably won't be in the Super Bowl again. So there's some uncertainty in projection.
It's also easy to say that they shouldn't be there because it's just really, really hard to get back to the Super Bowl. I mean, we were actually
asked Patrick Mahomes. So we thought we'd run off three or four Super Bowls.
Again, to go back to like Brady's greatness. I mean, we were going through since 2001 when Brady came on the scene. These are the number of Super Bowl appearances by quarterback since 2001. Brady's got 10, Peyton Manning 4, Roethlisberger 3, Mahomes, Kurt Warner, Eli, and Russell Wilson 2. Nobody else has more than one. And that includes Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees.
I mean, I feel like
it's really hard to get to the Super Bowl, particularly in the AFC. Like if you just take those numbers in the AFC, Brady got there 9 times, Peyton 4 times, Roethlisberger 3, Mahomes 2, and the only other quarterbacks, Rich Gannon, Joe Flacco, and Joe Burrow 1 time apiece.
I had this NFL almanac for kids when I was a little boy, and I read it all the time. And one thing that it like hit on is just, it's so hard to make the Super Bowl or multiple Super Bowls. So you had like people used to consider, this is before Tom Brady, like the all-time greats were the guys who made like multiple. So you had, the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, Joe Montana, right?
Like Terry,
you had
probably Steve Bradshaw. Young,
who like when I read the book had 2, and like Terry Bradshaw.
Elway played in 5.
But this book was before Elway won his first, right? So this book was like 1996, 1995. So I just, historically, it was very unusual for someone to even play in 2 Super Bowls. I remember people being impressed that Steve Young played in more than one. But like Joe Montana, I think
Kelly played in
4. Yeah, but he didn't win any. So it doesn't matter, right? Like how many guys have won multiple Super Bowls? It used to be considered incredibly rare and like the very tippy top of like all time to win like 2. But Tom Brady just so shattered that he's kind of changed on this list, how we evaluate quarterbacks.
I mean, on this list, there's 4. It's Brady, Peyton Manning, who was a shell of himself for the second one.
Right.
And they had just one of the best defenses of the last 20 years. Roethlisberger, who the refs handed the first one.
Right. He wasn't the same Eli. Player. Right.
And Eli, who, yes, he won 2 and he deserves credit for all of that. He played great in both those Super Bowl runs, but that was his entire career. He really had he had no playoff success outside of that. I'm pretty sure he had 8 playoff wins in his career, and all 8 wins were in
those 2 runs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he had a playoff win outside of those 2 seasons.
Historically, it's very hard, as you said, to make the Super Bowl. So, I mean, Tom Brady making 10 of them is pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll never see it again.
No. But one thing I wonder, so you look, since 2001, 12 of those Super Bowl appearances belong to Brady and Roethlisberger, who are now, at least in theory, both out of football. Do we think that does, you know, just open it up a lot more, or is Mahomes, you know, or is it just going to be the same like three guys like Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow, you know, winning every year. I'd say Herbert, but similar to the Jets, I feel like the Chargers are just like another one of those just like really snake bit franchises.
They're just totally cursed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think the Chargers are ever going to win a Super Bowl. They'll always have a field goal kicker who will ruin it for them at the end.
Probably. But I guess this goes back to the original question. Like a year from, like, do we think a year from now, like, did we see enough to think that like Zach Wilson could be the guy, at least a guy good enough to, so you think that in a year we might be looking for another quarterback?
No, I think, like I've said, I think he's Baker Mayfield. I think that's his,
I think like going to look for another quarterback.
I don't think so. I think he'll be back next season. We'll see. But I think he's a guy who can win, like a Chad Pennington, maybe one day. Like a guy who can win you a playoff game or two, and that's probably it. I'd love to be wrong, but.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, though. The thing that doesn't work with me with the Chad Pennington comp is Chad Pennington was a very cerebral quarterback that had very limited physical skills. I feel like Zach Wilson has all the physical skills in the world. It's just a matter of, can he avoid making mistakes?
Yeah, I wasn't making like a type of player. I meant more like, so I don't think you were ever going to win a Super Bowl with Chad Pennington. I think it's unlikely you win a Super Bowl with Zach Wilson, but could Zach Wilson win a playoff game? I would love to see that. I mean, based on last year, probably not, but you know, based on how he projects, maybe. I don't think he's going to turn into, you know, Patrick Mahomes or, you know, Russell Wilson or Josh Allen.
I mean, Ryan
Tannehill. It's just very few people do that, right? There's every season, there's like 20 guys who can be a value added in the whole world at playing football, and four or five of them become elite. So the odds of that happening are just pretty low.
That's why I asked the question, could he at least be good as Ryan Tannehill? Because Ryan Tannehill, since he's been to Tennessee, he's been in the playoffs every year. they were the number one seed this year. And if Ryan Tannehill doesn't make a terrible decision there at the end of the fourth quarter, they probably beat the Bengals and then are hosting the AFC title game. They were in the AFC title game 2 years ago. You know, like clearly if Tennessee had gotten some different breaks over the past few years, they probably could have been in a Super Bowl. I mean, remember the year the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, Tennessee had a 10-0 lead on them in the AFC title game.
Well, the other way to look at it is that they didn't. Right. And that it's so hard to win a Super Bowl and so hard to make it that you need like everything to go right. And it's more likely for everything to go right if you have Tom Brady, if you have Peyton Manning, if you have Patrick Mahomes. Even Peyton Manning, he was so bad in Super Bowls and playoffs. Like, I understand
he made four, which you look back now and it's like, you know, you look back at like the number of Super Bowl appearances for all these guys. And yeah, he gets, you know, a lot of crap for how bad he played in the playoffs, but he still got to four Super Bowls. That's a lot. And he went through, had to go through Brady all those years, and he still got to four.
That's true.
So, yeah. And won two of them. I mean, you know, maybe, you know, he wasn't the reason that he won that one with the Broncos, but, you know, one way or another, they got there.
I think we've kind of beaten this horse to death. I would love to see Zach Wilson become an elite quarterback, but
yeah, fingers crossed.
He needs to take some fingers crossed.
Yeah. So the Jets have two top 10 picks. They have the fourth and the 10th pick. Me and you know nothing about players.
Nothing. But, I know there's two very good pass rushers, and the Jets probably aren't going to get either of them.
Yeah. So if you had to target like a position group, like what would you love to see them do with these two?
The mock drafts I have read have them taking a secondary player and a wide receiver. That to me is very unexciting, but makes a lot of sense. I don't know. My goal for this draft would be to build a team, right? They need a defense and they need a stud wide receiver. I would probably lean on signing a wide receiver like a Chris Godwin, even if he's out for a little bit. Like an Allen Robinson, even though he was down last year. I don't think just wide receivers are so hard to hit on. And maybe the last couple of years have been different. And just taking a safety doesn't excite me. There's been a bunch of safeties projected to the Jets. Like if you're going to take even with taking a cornerback, they have two pretty okay cornerbacks. Like I'd rather take like an elite pass rusher, an elite linebacker.
I'd be okay with corner because of how valuable a lockdown corner can be. And hopefully if you're taking a corner with the fourth pick in the draft, that's what that player is going to be. I agree. Safety. We've gone down this road before of using really high picks on safeties. It's not worth it. They don't, it's just not a premium enough position. And at number 10, honestly, what I would love to see them do, I've heard a lot of really good things about this center from Iowa. I think his name's Lindenbaum.
Oh, really? They're thinking about taking a center that early? I mean, I would love
I've seen that in some mocks. I would love to see them do that.
For me, the like one of the most important things is just is leaving with the tight end, like at some point. Like they just maybe two. They have so many picks, maybe take two tight ends.
But then they also have cap. They could go out and sign Mike Gesicki. I feel like that would be a really good pickup for them.
I don't know. Like I only know him from fantasy. The worst way. They need like a pass catching tight end. They just need a team. What's nice is they're kind of set at tackle though. They have seemingly like three good ones. If they bring back Moses and they have Becton was like almost an all pro last year. And then Becton coming back, like that's a nice position to be really to play set
decently up. Last year.
But Justin, that is like the understatement of the year. He was a borderline Pro Bowl player last year. George Font will be back. George Font will be playing. He was amazing last year.
Which is why I feel like if they went center with the 10th pick and then, you know, even if they just went defense, like with basically every other pick in the draft, I think I'd be okay with that. Maybe throw a tight end in somewhere.
I was so mad last year. I mean, what was the name of the guy who we had at a bunch of podcasts? The jet guy. I'm forgetting his name.
Oh my God.
I haven't thought about it. This is really bad. I hope he's not listening. He's never going to come on if he's listening again. Whatever his name is, he was very excited about Creed Humphreys before last year's draft, who fell to the Chiefs. And it just seemed like such an easy person to draft, and they didn't do that. Like, why not just take Creed Humphreys? Like, he just fell last year. He was starting center for the Chiefs. Ah, yeah. Harrison. I haven't seen him on Twitter as much. I hope he's okay.
Yeah. And Harrison, you're always welcome to come on again. Although if you're listening, you're probably not going to because we've
probably not going to. Yeah.
Unless I do some very clever editing.
That's up to you based on how much time. But yeah, taking an elite center would make sense to me.
Yeah.
They need a team. So just keep trading back, keep accumulating players.
I mean, they have four of the top 40 picks in this draft, so that's exciting.
My bet is they trade back even more and get even more players if they can.
Great.
Last year, I had that sneaking suspicion they were going to trade up to take a guard, and I was right. This year, I'm feeling like they're just going to go depth. Like, I think the problem this year was just not having enough dudes.
Yeah. Sorry, this is a super random note, but like in like the fifth, sixth round, can they draft a kicker? I'm sick of having shitty kickers. Like,
the Bengals kicker, when did he get drafted?
Fifth round.
He's my favorite player in the league right now. He's
Evan McPherson.
In the whole league.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I feel like basically ever since they let Folk go, well, they had the one. I mean, the thing is, for years, the Jets, I can't quantify like how much it's like cost them in terms of wins, but like for years, the Jets have not put a premium on kickers and it's cost them. Like Folk was really good for them. They let him go because they didn't want to pay him. And he's still a really good kicker in the league. Then they had Myers that one year who was an all pro. They decided they want to pay him. He's still a really good kicker in the league. And just the amount of crap they've had at kicker, like, you know, especially like when you're a bad team that needs points, like, you know, it'd be nice to have a good kicker.
I go the other way. And they have like, so many picks. If you're a bad team and you're not going to win, why would you even think about having a kicker? Just you should have a kicker when you have a good team. Like you don't need Ravens kicker when your team
eventually 13. You want to be good. That's what I'm saying. You have a lot of picks. Pick a kicker.
This year they need a kicker because they need to make the playoffs or the whole regime's getting fired.
I don't know about the playoffs, but they need to be better. I mean, I think they need to
compete least, for the playoffs. Otherwise,
they need to be at least like 8-9.
Yes, this year. Absolutely. I mean, if they're not 8-9, everyone's getting fired. And hey, if you looked at the odds for next season, I imagine that they're not expected to win 8 games.
I mean, well, they're also in a in a tough division with, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with the Dolphins, but
the Patriots, the Dolphins, I imagine would take a step back. Things aren't looking very good for the Dolphins right now.
No,
you shouldn't. This story shouldn't be being leaked about you paying your coach $100,000 if he loses games. That seems like not great.
Great.
Do that.
It's been a while since we talked. I think we've exhausted all the Brady and Jets talk. Well, let's see. The Knicks are depressing, although I know you don't feel quite as bad about them, I think, as most people do.
I don't know. I kind of thought Randall would be doing better. And
I clearly
do. I don't know. I think I feel okay about them long term. This season, I don't feel super great about.
Yeah. I mean, before the season, I've said on this podcast that he would for sure be an all-star again, and he'd be mad about like being snubbed for the Olympic team and whatnot. I was dead wrong.
I mean, you know what? If I was them, I would just totally lean into the young guys. I like a lot of their players. I would just start like Obi Toppin, Quentin Grimes, Emmanuel Quickly. I would play them all the time, and I would trade the rest of the players. I would trade Randall. I would trade Derrick Rose. I would trade Kemba for anything, and I would just literally lean into being young.
I mean, literally half their roster is like a first, second, or third year, because they got Barrett and now Reddish, who are third year guys. Then they got Toppin and Quickly, who are second year guys. Then they got the three rookies, McBride, Grimes, and Sims.
I would fire Tibbs and just play all my young players, because the only way you can play your young players is if you fire Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah.
I would just see what you got.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be fun. They have a lot of fun young players. We'll do it next
time. I feel like they play better when they play these young guys. It's like when Randall and Fournier are in is when the team starts playing bad.
Yeah, Fournier's carried them to a bunch of wins. I know people are down on him, but he's okay for what he does.
Yeah. All right. We'll do a more in-depth Knicks pod in the near
future. Not too distant future.
Yeah. And and hopefully we have a baseball season.
Hopefully I have heat in my house.
Yes, hopefully. It's cold.
It is. All right. It's been a pleasure as always, Justin.
Yes. If you don't already follow us on Twitter at Born87Pod. We're back. We promise it will not be another month until our next pod.
I don't promise things. I hope not. Who knows what's going to befall us from the next month.
All right. All right. On that note, have a good night, everyone.
Have a good night.